Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, you find us in a series called LLJD, which stands for Live Like Jesus Did. We are asking the question of what does it look like to live like Jesus as a middle schooler in a 2024 world. Follow along, we hope you enjoy this message. Well, welcome back to our series, LLJD. Who remembers what LLJD stands for? You can cheat. Feel free to cheat. Yes? Live like Jesus did. Good job, guys. Some of you remember. How many of you have a bracelet so far? Does anybody have a bracelet? I finally put mine back on. Well done. Is anyone wearing their bracelet today? Jackson has it. Hi. Nice. John's got it on. Well done, ladies. Well done. Hopefully it's been helpful. It's been a good reminder. I know I've been wearing it. I had one, and then I took it off. Remember, for family pictures, my wife made me take it off. Can you believe that, Kate? I can't believe it. But she made me take it off. Something about family pictures and, you know, only wanting specific things in them. So we're still trying to figure that out. But we got it back on this week, and it's been a good, helpful reminder. So during this series, we are kind of talking about how we are called to be disciples of Jesus, and that means that our life actually should start to look a little bit more like his. I think a lot of times the church gets caught up in, hey, well, as long as I say the right thing, meaning maybe I say that I believe in Jesus or I say a specific prayer, that's it, that's kind of the extent of this life. And then I live life, you know, however I want to live it kind of thing. And maybe I try to be mostly a good person. But then I die one day. And when I die, I go to heaven to be with Jesus. And there's some truth in there, but I think it misses the bigger reality of what Jesus was inviting us into when he invites us to experience eternal life with him. Jesus meant that we would not just experience eternal life one day far from now, but that when we trust him and when we decide to follow him, when we become a disciple of Jesus, that we actually would start to experience eternal life now. And so if you read the scriptures, you start to see that his disciples were doing just that, that they were following him and taking on his ways of life, seeing that, oh, if I really do come to you and give you the things that are burdening me, you're going to give me rest. Seeing that, oh, if I come to you and I ask for forgiveness, you are going to forgive me, and that there's a sense of freedom in that. That, oh, there really is a victory that I'm meant to live out of every single day. And so we've been talking about some of these things and talking specifically about things that we see in the life of Jesus that I think he invites us to take on into our lives as well. And so last week we talked about prayer, and hopefully some of you spent some time in prayer this week, maybe a little bit outside the norm. If you remember, I've been enjoying the challenges lately of, hey, will you just set a clock, set 5 minutes of prayer time. Just set the timer and take things to God in prayer. So we looked at the Lord's Prayer, where we talk about recognizing God and taking our daily needs before him and asking for forgiveness and things like that. And so maybe some of you set a timer this week and spent some time praying to the Lord. Hopefully you did it a couple of times. The week before, we were talking about scripture. How many of you opened your Bible this week? Anybody? Show of hands. I know it's kind of a dangerous... guys, I'm so proud of you. These numbers are, like, your hands are way more than what was last week. So really, really proud of you. And hopefully you just ask the Lord, hey, speak to me during this time. Like, show me what it is that is true about you, true about me, true about the world in your word. So really, really proud of you. And then the week prior was kind of like an intro week. So this is week 4. And this morning we're going to be in Mark chapter 1, if you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. If you didn't know, the Bible's kind of split up into the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the Old Testament is like 2/3 of the Bible. So it's kind of a bit of a thicker testament, if you will. And then the New Testament is the last 1/3. And it goes Matthew, Mark is the second book of the New Testament. Are we okay back there? Did somebody fall over? Okay, we're good. Can you verify that everybody's good back there? Okay, good. Okay, that was scary. You never know. So Mark chapter 1. And we're going to talk this morning about something that I think that our culture really needs. How many of you have ever checked in on a friend, just said, hey, how are you doing? And the friend just kind of gave, that was like part A of the question. But you've checked in on a friend and asked them this specifically, how are you doing? And they said, this is part B, they said, I'm just busy. Anybody ever heard a friend say that? Okay, I'll raise my hand. Maybe more adults can relate to this, but I think students, you probably have too. Or I've just got a lot of schoolwork. Anybody ever heard that? Just got a lot of schoolwork, got a lot of homework. Okay. Or, well, we've just been traveling every weekend for a sport. Anybody ever heard that? Maybe that's been you. Our culture tends to kind of place a badge of honor on a word. I won't call it busy. I'll just call it hurry. We tend to place a badge of honor on people and families who have a lot of things going on. And so maybe that's school related. Maybe it's sport related. Maybe it's just, no, like our family just has, we've got dinners every night. Like we're at somebody's house or they're at our house or we're going out to eat, but we just stay busy. We stay in this constant state of hurry. Maybe you feel it. Maybe you feel it with all the things that you have on your plate when it comes to school and extracurriculars. Some of you do band things. Some of you do sports things. Some of you are part of some sort of club, maybe like a student government kind of thing. But you stay busy. And in some ways, we're rewarded for it when it comes to things like, hey, what are some of you already are thinking, which is crazy to me because it was one of the last, maybe not one of the last thoughts in my mind, but you're already thinking as a middle schooler about college. And what are colleges looking for? Well, they want to see that you're a part of a lot of different things that you have going on. Or what do coaches want to see? Coaches want to see that you're playing your sport all year long and that you're doing training on the side and that that's going to make you a better player. And I'm not saying that there's not truth to that. I think colleges want to see things on your history. Like they want to know that you're active and a part of things and challenging yourself and pushing yourself. And I think coaches want to see that you're working hard too. But I think that in all of the hurry and all of the busy, it's actually taking a toll on us. And if you don't believe me, then go back to week one when we talked about anxiety and depression and how the rates of that are higher than they've ever been before. And loneliness. Like we're so busy sometimes that not only is it taking a toll on us mentally because we've got all the things that are going on in our brains and flying at warp speed, but we get so busy that we don't actually have time to hang out with other people. And maybe you're like, but I'm busy with other people. Yeah, but oftentimes your busyness with other people, there's no actual chance to get deep with those people. There's no chance to have real relationship with those people. Because it's just we play a game and we'll see you later. Or we're in a class or we're doing a project and we see you later. Or we come to church for just an hour on a Sunday and we see you later. But there's no time to really talk about, hey, what's going on? How are you doing? Let's just have a conversation. We get lost in the busy and the hurry of life. And maybe some of you feel that. Maybe some of you feel the weight of it. Maybe some of you are tired of it. There was this guy who, he has to be smart. His name was Dallas, okay? His name is Dallas Willard. He's since passed away, but he was a pastor and philosopher. And he was once asked, hey, what's the biggest obstacle to following Jesus in the world that we live in today? And here was his answer. He said, hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life. That's what we've just been talking about. Great enemy of spiritual life in our day. So here's kind of what he says is the remedy for that. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Now, you could take that and say, well, are there things that I need to eliminate from my life? Perhaps. Like, in fact, I think, man, that's one of the most like countercultural things that you can tell somebody right now. Because we've got all kinds of reasons for not slowing down and not eliminating things in our life. Like, oh, but if my kid doesn't play this, or if I don't do this, or if I'm not a part of this, or but I gotta do it for work. I know you guys are middle schoolers, but oftentimes I've heard adults say that. But you don't understand, like if I don't do this for my boss. We've got all kinds of excuses and all kinds of reasons why we can't slow down. And I hear those, and I think some of them are maybe more fair than others. But I think the reality is if we don't slow down, if we don't take times to pause, dare I say stop from the busyness and the hurry of life, then we're never actually gonna come to this place of true soul rest and a true healthy pace when it comes to our life with Jesus. Jesus made intentional steps to get away. And he lived in a world where there wasn't the 24/7 social media, where everybody wasn't having cameras around him, watching his every move, but he still sensed this busyness, it seems. He still sensed this hurry. He had people who certainly were demanding his time, demanding his energy, demanding his attention. And so multiple times we see moments like the one that we see here in the book of Mark, chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 35 through 39 and see what Jesus does. It says in verse 35, it says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he, Jesus, departed and went out to a desolate place," kind of like a bit of a wilderness area, kind of an empty spot. "And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him." So it was hard to find him. They didn't quite know where he went. "And they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.' And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." So Jesus takes time to get away, to get to a quiet place, to get to a place where, at least it seems from his disciples' vantage point, they like had a hard time finding him. They weren't familiar with the place that he was going, but he made time to do it. What's the difference, though, between just praying and seeking silence and solitude? What's the difference between going to a place like maybe you picked out this week, like, hey, okay, I heard us talking about 5 minutes of prayer, and maybe you picked out a place in your house or you picked out a place on your back porch and you decided this is where I'm going to set my 5-minute timer and I'm going to pray. I think at first glance, it looks like, well, there may not really be a difference, but I think there is. I think what tends to happen when we go to a time specifically to pray is we've kind of got a bit of an agenda. Like, we've got some things that we want to take before God, which I think is right, which I think is what Jesus instructs us to do. But I think that when we get alone to be with God, and sometimes it ends up being a conversation, I think that's why it's called prayer here, is what we're doing, though, is we're slowing down, we're going without an agenda, we're going just with the thoughts that are on our mind and saying, hey, Lord, would you speak during this time? I think there's far less of us talking oftentimes in silence and solitude, and far more of us just waiting and sitting and listening and being silent. In silence and solitude, here's a few things that I think happen. Remember, when we're not coming so quick with an agenda, but we're getting away, as Jesus did here, seems to get away from distractions. He gets away from other people. So for us, this may look like, hey, like for me, here's what it looks like. It looks like either in the night or the morning, I'm getting outside most of the time, unless it's like bad weather or something, and I'm on my front porch, on my back porch, my back deck, and it's just me. Nobody's around. I leave my phone inside, leave my computer inside, make sure I can't see any screens. Oftentimes, I don't even take my Bible. And here's four things that I think happen when we do this. We get away from all those distractions. It's just us and the Lord. One, I think it just slows us down. We talked about the hurry and the busy and the bustle. But if you have, and again, I'm going to go back to this 5-minute timer thing. Imagine having 5 minutes where you're just sitting there with nothing. Like, I know it sounds like it's going to be awkward. Sounds like it's going to be weird. But it's intentionally so that you would slow down. You've got nothing. It slows you down. The second thing I think happens is that we're just alone with ourselves. We're quiet with ourselves. We're not distracted by our phones. We're not distracted by a book. We're not distracted by whatever your distraction of choice is. We have to be quiet with ourselves. Number three is, the reality is, though, I think for a lot of us, especially when we first start to practice silence and solitude, is that our minds are going to be racing. So we have to, number three, deal with our thoughts. Like, when you, and we're actually going to practice this. I'm going to put 2 minutes on the clock in just a little bit here. When you first practice this, what you're going to find is that your mind is still racing. It's really hard. It's harder than you might realize to actually quiet yourself and quiet your thoughts. So I think it's actually appropriate for us to deal with those. Like, as things come to mind, We actually offer those things to God. Hey, this friendship comes to mind. Well, let me say, hey, Lord, would you have your way in this friendship? This thing at school comes to mind. Take it to God. This thing in your family, like whatever it is, I think that it is appropriate to where your mind goes. I think oftentimes God's leading that, to offer those thoughts to him. And then number four, I think what happens the more you practice this is it's an opportunity to hear from God. There's an Old Testament prophet who kind of goes away to some mountains and tries to recreate these moments of, hey, well, if I can pray like this, or if I can set these things up in a certain way, then maybe I'm gonna hear from God. And ultimately, the place that he hears from God is when all the distractions are away, everything is silent, and God speaks to him in a still, small voice, is how the scriptures describe it. I think that if we are practicing what we see in the life of Jesus, where he gets away, he's alone, he's away from distractions, he's away from people, that perhaps you and I might see that God is the one who's guiding our thoughts, that God is the one who's speaking to us, that we can hear, imagine this, that we can hear when everything else is turned down or turned off, that we might be able to hear the still, small voice of the Lord. And sometimes I think that's through him directing and guiding our thoughts. Sometimes I think that's through him reminding us of things that we've been reading in the scriptures. And sometimes, from time to time in my life, I feel like I've heard, it hasn't necessarily been like an audible from the cloud sort of voice, but it's like, man, there's a new thought in my mind, and it seems like the Lord uses those spaces to actually speak to us. So how do we get to a place where, well, let's talk about this first. This is, I think oftentimes people would be like, so why don't we just like live in that the whole time? That sounds great. Like, I'd love to be not distracted all the time and just to be away from people all the time. In fact, some of you, if you're an introvert, you're like, this actually sounds like what I want my life to be, right? Like, just get away, forget the timer, let it be for all of time, okay? This sounds like an introvert's biggest dream and an extrovert's like worst nightmare, okay? But the reality is, all of us, no matter if you're an extrovert or an introvert, or you find yourself somewhere in between, all of us need space like this. In fact, I would say we need this a couple of times a week. Like, if you're thinking, what does this look like for me? I would say start with like 2 times a week. Just pick 2 days in your week where I'm gonna set a 5-minute timer and I'm gonna just sit silent before the Lord. But in the end, introverts, I'm sorry, extroverts, you'll get excited about this, we've got to go back to experience real life. I think that though, out of the times of silence and solitude, that the Lord's going to give you some refreshment, give you a reminder of your identity, perhaps even speak something to you that you have to then take with you into the real world. What does Jesus do? The disciples come and look for him. Verse 37 says, they found him and said to him, everyone's looking for you. And Jesus says, well, let's go. Let's go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. That Jesus might receive something from God. That's why he came out, to be alone, to be undistracted, to be before his Father. He came to be with him so that he would receive something that he could take with him into the rest of life and into the rest of ministry. Ultimately, we can't just live in the silence and solitude forever. Sorry, introverts. We have to go back into the real world. Extroverts, that's the part where you get excited. So what does it look like to practically do this, and then we're gonna practice it? It's kind of the same as we've been talking about a little bit, that you would find a place. Remember, I mentioned that my place is on the back porch or on the front porch, typically. If it's raining, it's on a chair in my living room. Sometimes it's in my office here at work. But try to pick a place. Pick a time. Like, for you, does it make sense to do it for a couple of minutes in the morning or a couple of minutes in the evening? And then set a clock. Pick a place, pick a time, set a clock, and just be silent before the Lord. And who knows what he wants to do with that time? Like, some of this, honestly, is embracing the awkward, because it's gonna be awkward. I think whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, it's gonna be awkward to sit there with essentially nothing to do for even a short period, like 5 minutes. But I think that the Lord may wanna speak in those moments. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna set, I've got my phone, okay? Not to be distracted by, but to set a timer with. I'm going to set 2 minutes, okay, for us to be silent, for us to sit kind of before the Lord and to see, like, here's what I'm telling you is going to happen right now. Your thoughts are about to go wild, okay? So if you have a Bible, I'm actually going to ask you to set it under your seat so it's not distracting you. If you've got a journal, I'm going to ask that you do the same thing. Although sometimes, admittedly, when you do this at home, there may be a need to bring a journal out there just to write down some of the things that are going on in your mind, some of the things that you may feel like the Lord's directing your thoughts towards. If you've got a phone, for sure, set that under your seat, okay? Anything that's going to distract you, if you've got an Apple Watch or whatever, set it to do not disturb, okay? And I'm going to put 2 minutes on the clock, and we're going to sit silent. Maybe it's helpful to close your eyes, or it's helpful to find a spot on the wall or on the floor and just kind of focus on it. Ben, no cups in the air for 2 minutes. Oh, I know. Although sometimes you may find like, well, I just need something to fidget with, okay? But if you do it, try to do it in a way that doesn't distract anybody right now. All right, on your mark, get set, be silent. All right, you just did 2 minutes. How many of you, that was really hard? Anybody? Wanna raise your hand? Nice. Yeah. I think if you found that it was really difficult, probably means you need more of it. If you didn't, I know that just in the culture that we live in, you need more of it. We did the silence part, not so much the solitude part right now, because we're still around people. We're around things. We're in a room with a lot of different noises. Maybe you've paid attention to the AC. But some of the things, again, that I try to do is pay attention to my thoughts, sometimes to get me to calm down initially. Like I'm just focusing on my breath, like just kind of counting the breaths until I can get into a space of actually like calming down and being able to listen to my thoughts or listen to the words of the Lord. But again, pick a time, or rather pick a place, pick a time, set a clock, and embrace silence and solitude, because we live like Jesus when we embrace silence and solitude. And I would imagine that the Lord has some things that he wants to stir up, whether it's in your mind or some things that he wants to remind you of as you step into this and step out of the hurry that our culture is so consumed by. Remember the words of that guy, Dallas Willard: hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And I think one of the ways you can do it is by embracing silence and solitude. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you so much for the example of your son as we tend to pray. and the way that he got away. And Lord, I think sometimes we think that, well, if we just pray before dinner and pray before bed, that perhaps that's enough. But Jesus seemed to model a life that was about more than that, that there are times where we need to be intentional about getting away from the distractions of daily life, getting out of the rhythm for just a few moments and just sitting before you. And so would you help us do that? Would you help us to pick a place, to pick a time, and to set a clock just to spend moments with you? And we ask that in those times when it's kind of awkward, when we're alone with our thoughts, maybe for the first time or the first time in a long time, we ask that you would be kind to us in those moments, that you would direct and guide our thoughts, and that you would perhaps see fit to speak to us in those moments. Help us to be people who don't fall victim to the hurry and the busy of this world, but are actually people of peace and people who are maybe even non-anxious presences in the world that we live in because of the time that we spend with you. Would you start to form us into people like that, people like your son? It's in his name we pray.